Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew warned Congress today of irrevocable damage that an unprecedented federal deficit could cause, even as House GOP leaders considered a short-term debt limit increase to provide more time to resolve their budget battle with President Barack Obama. Lew testified to the Senate Finance Committee on the 10th day of a partial federal shutdown. And 1 week before, Lew has said the government will deplete its ability to borrow money. Lew warned that failure to renew the government's ability to borrow money could be deeply damaging to the financial markets, the ongoing economic recovery, and the jobs and savings of millions of Americans. The top Republican on the finance panel, Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, accused the Obama administration of an apparent effort to whip up uncertainty in the markets. House GOP members are planning to have meetings with the president later today. Cargill Incorporated on Wednesday reported a 41% drop in quarterly profits as the lingering effects of the 2012 severe drought in the U.S. reduced grain handling opportunities. Minneapolis-based Cargill reported $571 million in net earnings for the first quarter ending August 31st, down from last year's record quarter of $975 million. Quarterly results fell in three of Cargill's four business segments. Cargill's animal protein unit posted a rise due to improved margins. Strategic Grains today lowered its estimate of the 28-member EU's 2013-14 corn production by 900,000 metric tons to 64.9 million tons after increasing its harvest estimate for Hungary, Poland, and Bulgaria. The Dow Jones Industrial Average sitting at 14,915. It's up 187 points. The NASDAQ 3180 is up 48. And the S&P 500 is 1672. It is up 23.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Forecast across the Midwest today has not changed greatly from that of yesterday. It still looks as though there's going to be two systems that move across the region between now and the middle part of next week. Each one of these systems will produce at least some precipitation. The first one will be a lot weaker than the second. The first storm system is actually associated with a very deep low-pressure center that will be forming in the northern plains here later tonight and continuing northward and intensifying additionally as we go from Friday into Saturday. That storm system actually goes up into Manitoba, but it drags a cool front along with it, and that front will slowly move through the western Corn Belt and eventually into the eastern Midwest. But the system will lose its significance as it moves eastward, and so most of the precipitation in the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest will not likely be very significant. This is, as I said before, very similar to yesterday's forecast. So in this first several days of the forecast period, we're probably going to see a little bit of a deteriorating weather pattern. But for today and most of tomorrow, it looks as though the majority of the Midwest will likely see good harvest weather with little to no precipitation of much consequence. The first round of precipitation will begin later tomorrow in the western Corn Belt, in the northwestern areas in particular. So delays are most likely in Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, portions of Iowa. And then as we move from Friday night into Saturday and early Sunday, we'll see the frontal boundary and a handful of showers working its way eastward across the Midwest, and we'll likely see showers from Illinois to Michigan and Ohio. But most of that precipitation is just not going to be very impressive, and field work will still operate either during or even around the precipitation, as the amounts are not likely to be more than a couple tenths of an inch in most cases. The frontal system will abate, it will disappear, dissipate, whatever word you want to use, but it will not be significant as we get into Sunday. And the next thing that will take place is we'll get a new low pressure center forming in the central plains as we get into Sunday night and early Monday. That storm system will then march across the Midwest from southwest to northeast, passing from Kansas and Nebraska into the Great Lakes region. And in this particular path, we'll likely see enough precipitation occurring to stall field work for a little bit, but it's not going to be a huge storm, and we aren't going to see major soakings. We'll likely see rain totals in Iowa, Minnesota, and parts of eastern South Dakota that could run 1 to 2 inches, maybe even a portion of Wisconsin. The rainfall elsewhere will run a couple tenths to three quarters of an inch, and occasionally we may see amounts that could get up over an inch, but I really don't think that'll happen very often. And the system will move out of the Midwest fairly swiftly, so that by the time we get into the Wednesday of next week, most of the western Corn Belt will be dry, and the east will be dry beginning on Thursday. Now, there will be a couple of shots of energy coming southward out of Canada during the latter part of next week that will produce some showers across the Great Lakes region. Those areas will see some additional precipitation in the form of rain showers, and most of it will probably be less than 15 hundredths of an inch on a daily basis, but we'll see that occur on into the second weekend of the two-week outlook. The temperatures across the Midwest are expected to be mostly in a warmer-than-usual mode for several more days, but we will see the edge of the heat reduced as time moves along. Today we'll see mostly 70s across the region, with a few lower 80s in the far west, and we'll likely see the upper 70s and lower 80s dominating the region Friday and Saturday, with the exception of the northwestern corner of the region, where some 50s will show up as we get into Saturday afternoon. And then as we move forward, I don't think we'll see a great deal of temperature changes during the rest of the weekend or Monday, but as we get into midweek next week, we'll see those temperatures cool down to 50s and 60s north, 60s to maybe near 70 in the south. Low temperatures at night will start to drop near and slightly below freezing periodically during midweek next week across the upper parts of the Midwest, but at this point, no hard freezes are expected. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red December wheat, 759 and three quarters, up three quarters. Soft December wheat, 694 and three quarters, up four and a quarter. December corn, 442 and three quarters, down three quarters. July, 471 and a quarter, down one. November beans, 1298 and a quarter, up 10 and a half. July, 1254 and a half, up seven. October soybean meal, 427.90, up to 70. October soybean oil, not trading. October live cattle, 128.32 and a half, up 32 and a half. October feeders, 164.67 and a half, up 12 and a half. October lean hogs, 89.85. They're up 2 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Let's start with the wheat today. And let's do that because it seems like it has a pretty good fundamental story to tell, and the technical actions may suggest that we're seeing the lows that we're going to see for the balance of the year, yes?
We look like we want to work higher. We had been in such a long downtrend, made a nice rounded bottom situation with an upside breakout about 10 days ago. We need to take December wheat above $7 to catch more short covering, probably the tail end of short covering, to take this market higher.
Does the wheat drag corn up with it at this point?
It could do that. The difficulty I see with wheat being a huge leader is that in the export market, everyone has wheat to sell, and it is priced cheaper than U.S. stuff. We're seeing Canadian wheat both move into the U.S. as well as move into Mexico. So I think that even though the fundamental story on the supply side, you keep thinking it sounds pretty good, there's a lot of competition out there.
What do the spreads tell you?
The spreads are saying that we still have carry in the wheat market. The spreads on the corn still show carry. The spreads on the beans inverse again.
Let me ask you this. Because we don't have the information from NASS, although we're getting a lot of private information, it seems to me, is the market essentially, in your estimation, marking time here?
I think it's marking time really on the speculative side of things. I think the speculators just wants to stay out of this market till it feels it has reliable information. There's a lot of talk that there's plenty of private information, but does it have a rationale behind it to make the market move in one direction or the other? I would anticipate we will continue with some low volume until the federal government comes back to work.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Moorton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, December corn, 443 and three quarters, up a quarter. July is 472, down a quarter. November soybeans, 1298 and three quarters, up 11. July, 1254 and three quarters, up 7 1/4. October soybean meals, 428.60, up 340. October soybean oil, still not trading. October live cattle, 128.32 1/2, up 32 1/2. And October lean hogs are 89.87 1/2, and they are up 5 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.